You're listening to a message from Southland Church. To learn more about Southland, including our service times and upcoming events, listen to us online at mysouthland.com. Today's message comes from Pastor Martin Gunter.
Well, good morning. And again, thank you so much for the generosity that you guys have given us to be able to do the things for the distribution center and bless so many people in our church. So 2 weeks ago when I was preaching here, I kind of talked about loneliness, but I also thank you, you know, for if I'm not here this week, you'll come look at me at camp and find me. So thankfully I made it back, and there should be a picture up there soon about a few of us there. We made it. We went through camp there and stuff, and that's my group there, and you can see Ron Friesen and Preston and all the kids we had there. It was tons of fun. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a parent volunteer and you ever want to think of going up there to camp and volunteer, totally worth it. Will totally wreck your body. Coming back here too, I needed days to recover my body at least. Like my heart and my soul was rejuvenated, but man, it is, those kids run everywhere and they are busy all the time. So, but thankfully with a young high schooler that kept up with it, but me and Ron need some recovery time. And I think, I'm not sure if Ron is in the service here or not, but I think all the boys made it back. Hope so. We'll see. So, but in one of the boys in that picture, though, is my son, and he's in the back with a bright green sweater. And if you see him today, it's his 13th birthday. So, happy birthday, Gideon. Glad you're here, buddy. So, anyway, with that, we're going to go into the message. And we are going to continue on with the last part in loneliness, which is part three. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about how the causes of loneliness in our lives. And some of the causes of loneliness we talked about is our culture, how our culture influences it, selfishness, and ultimately unforgiveness is one of those big root issues that can cause loneliness in our lives. So today, we're going to talk about what is the solution. How can we overcome loneliness, not just in our lives, but again, in our culture, in our church, and the people around us? And I can already tell you before we get into the message, you know the answer. The answer is very simple, but it's not easy to do. It's one of those things where we kind of know it, and it's like, you know, we ask somebody, you know, you want to live healthily, what do? Well, sleep. Right, that's good. Drink lots of water, eat vegetables. We know the right answers, but doing them is very tough sometimes. So it's the same thing of loneliness, but we're gonna get into it. And we're gonna start with this. We have to go back to the original design that God made us for. And we can see how humans were designed back in the day and then see how we can combat loneliness. And again, loneliness isn't just simply being alone, but it's feeling emotionally isolated even if you're in a crowd of people. So knowing that, let's go back to the original design. And again, if we go to Genesis 1:26, it says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky." So again, look at here the words being used here. They're not singular, but they're plural. So we know that God is a Trinity. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three, but they are one. It's a great mystery, and it's one I cannot wait to see in heaven and how that works. But we also see here that it is to all of us. So it's just plural verbiage being used there for us here to use, not just singular in that way. So we know this. But we also know there's another part of this too. So God is a Trinity. He wants us to be together, but God is also love. And we see this in 1 John 4, where it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows it, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So there's two different themes of togetherness and love. And we know God is love. Love is not love. That doesn't make any sense. But we know that God is love and God shows us how to love. And just in case you were not certain if this is important for us as Christians to do, we can see that, you know, the people asked Jesus in his time, what's the most important thing to do? And again, we all know this, but Matthew 22, it says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all depends on the prophets is based on these two commands." So we see this in here, but it's loving God, loving people. These are commands that all of you know. I know if I would have had an exam here this morning with pen and papers on the table, on the chairs here for you, you all would have gotten this correct, because this is something we know, this is something we've learned, and it's part of our DNA. The thing is, though, we don't always do this, and we're struggling to do it. And again, we're not going to be perfect in doing it, but it's a journey of us to learn how to love God, how to love people, and knowing that we're not meant to be alone. But you know what, though? We do see there's many stories in Scripture, many that talk about this, but especially the one I like the most is in Acts 2. And we're going to read you a chunk of Acts 2 here, just so you can see what it looks like. I mean, again, this is now after Jesus has died and stuff, and he's talked to them many times about loving God and loving people and how to love people. And let's see how the people in Acts 2 actually did this. So Acts 2:42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes with the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I mean, can you imagine a community like that, where every day they met together, every day they went to church, nobody had any need. Anybody came and they sold their stuff and they shared with everybody else, and they had an amazing, you would say almost a utopia there. But I get it, you would say they did not have the same problems we have today. Because today our issues is disobedient teenagers. They didn't have disobedient teenagers. They didn't have social media. They had way different things. They were not angry at one another. They weren't selfish to one another. And the thing is, they were still people. Because the whole Bible is written for people back then and for us. And guess what? They struggled with anger. They struggled with selfishness. They struggled with unforgiveness. The same stuff we struggle with today is what they struggled with back then. So they had to overcome these things. And the big difference, I think, between Acts 2 and us today is this. Back in Acts 2, they knew they needed one another. They knew it. They knew they could not do life without each other. And today, we can do it ourselves. We don't think we need one another. We've become so individualistic that I don't need to go provide my food, I can simply go to Superstore. I don't need anybody else, I can ask AI. I don't need to go for comfort with somebody else, I can go see whoever. So the thing is, we need each other, but we don't think we do. And in Acts 2, they knew it, and they had community through that. So I believe Acts 2 holds many truths for us today as we're going to go through this. And again, we see that last part in verse 47 where it says they were all together, right? So how do people come there? How do people know? Because God added to the number every single day. So why do people go there? Well, they were living out John 13:35 that says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples, but if you love one another. So the outside world could see they had something different. The outside world saw they're loving one another. They wanted what they had. And they saw this community, and then they kept adding and they kept growing and growing and growing. So the first thing we're gonna look at today, we'll look at two different parts, but the first thing we're gonna look at today is love people. Because we do need one another. Again, Acts 2:47, all the while we're praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. So again, we see this, that they grew and grew and grew because God was adding to their number. They saw something they wanted, and people went to see what it is. So ultimately, it is about one another. It is about you and me. It's about us loving one another. I did a quick search in the New Testament, just I used Blue Letter Bible and just did a quick search, and there's over 100 verses in the New Testament that talk about one another, that exact phrase. And I went through them all and stuff, and there was amazing passages. I can't preach an all 100 here this morning. There's too many. So I cut it down to 27. I put them in my message notes. It's online if you want it. You can take a look at it there. We can't talk about all 27, so I just picked five. So we can look at five different verses in the New Testament alone that talks about one another. And again, there's many other passages that doesn't even use the same words like one another that talks about love. But it's such a constant theme we see, and I will show you five of these this morning to go through. So the first one is Romans 13:8. It says this, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love one another. For whomever loves others has fulfilled the law. And I just love this. You can almost ask the question, how much should we love one another? And I love how this says that the only debt remain between us is loving one another. But this debt would never be satisfied. The checkbook would never be balanced because we always have this need to love one another. And I know sometimes we owe other people stuff and but we have actual debt and so on, which will pay off. But let the debt for one another never be balanced. It is always seek to love one another. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And again, I've said this many times this morning, love one another, love one another, love one another. It's like telling my kids sometimes, don't do this, don't do that, you know, and they still don't do it. But the thing is, I get it. I say love one another, but how? How do I love you? How do I demonstrate that love to you? Because love is such a nebulous, vague term sometimes because we use it so much with terms like love is love. How do I love you? And I'm glad you asked that question because I want to show you how it is. There's two chapters you can go to in Scripture that really makes it practical and brings it out, and that's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 13. And again, for the sake of time, I can't go into all of them, but I quickly made a quick table for you up there, and you can see there Romans 1 Corinthians 13 shows us different ways of loving one another. So, what is it? The definitions of love is simple. Love is patient. Love is kind. Always protects. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Never fails. Looking at those ones there too, we can say, okay, how can I love my neighbor? And some people ask, who's my neighbor? Well, it's a person right next to you. When you go home, it might be somebody else, but right now, if you look to the side of you, that's your neighbor. So how can you love your neighbor this morning? Well, you can be patient, you can be kind. If they sit too close to you, don't elbow them, it's okay. You know, like, be kind, be patient with them. And again, love is not envious. It is not boastful. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it's not proud. We have all these wonderful definitions, and even reading those couple, I didn't even take all of them out of 1 Corinthians 13, that's just a couple of them, it is overwhelming. But we can take a couple of these, and even if we just focus on love is not proud and love is patient, take those two things like, Lord, how today can I be more patient at my work? How can I be more patient with my kids that don't listen? How can I be more kind, or how can I be not proud in the things of my life towards others? So if we break this down, we can take one piece and dig more into it. So Hebrews 3:13 says this, but encourage one another daily. I love this. As long as it's called today. What is it day? What day is it? Oh yeah, it's today. So today, I should encourage one another so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We get to love one another today. And tomorrow, it's today again. And we get to love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I need encouragement sometimes. But you know who else needs encouragement? Those who lost a loved one. Those who are going through tough times, who are in the hospital, who are down on their health. And the lonely as well, right? They need to be encouraged. And I know, again, we come to this and we don't know how to encourage those people, and I know it's sometimes difficult. Can I just encourage you and show you how easy it actually is to encourage those? Because I've gone through many health issues, and I told you that story last time. What did that guy do? He was an atheist. He simply did one thing. It's two words. He showed up. He simply showed up. So I want to encourage you, if you know somebody who lost a loved one and a funeral is coming up, and you ask that question, man, should I go to the funeral? If you know them well enough that you ask the question, should I go? You already answered the question. You should go. You should simply show up. when my dad passed away, we had a funeral here too, and I was utterly shocked at some of the people who showed up and some who didn't. And I get some people can't make it, but the love I experienced from those simply showing up. Did they say anything to me? I don't remember, but I saw them there. I know one of the guys who came up to me, he just gave me a hug, didn't say a word. He had no idea what to say, and I could see the fear in his face. He's like, I don't know what to do, sorry, and he moved aside. But I felt loved. So I want to encourage you, when there's somebody in the hospital or something, go visit them. Go sit by their bedside, see how they're doing. Bring a book along, read something to them. You don't have to make it awkward. And if it is a little bit awkward, that's fine. You showed up. So I want to encourage you, with those people around us that need encouragement, let's show up and let's show them Jesus' love in it. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the days approaching. So this is another one too, right? We can encourage one another to come to church, to engage with the body. So how about this? The next prayer summit, you can call a buddy. Hey, do you want to come with me to the prayer summit? Do you? You want to come with me to the prayer summit? And then you can call him right before prayer summit, maybe show up at his doorstep. Hey, are you ready to go? Huh? Are you ready? I'm knocking on the door. I'm right here. Come on, let's go. It's prayer summit tonight. You can do that. We do it for the Jets. We do it for the Bombers. We do it when a brand new movie comes out. We're so excited. We knock on each other's doors. Let's go do this fun thing together. Why not for church and prayer summit? Coming here and to be filled by that instead of your team losing again. Because they lose, right? So just think of that joy and excitement in that. So we can encourage one another and spur one another on to come here and we can do body life together. 1 Peter 4:9 says this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I love it. It says, it just knows people so well, right? People again back then to today is not that different. Offer hospitality without grumbling. How many times you had some, don't show your hands, okay? This is your toggle, do not raise your hands. But how many times you had somebody over and inside you go, oh, I don't want to have them here tonight. Like it happens to us, right? But let me ask you this question. When's the last time you had somebody over purely for the sake of blessing them? For their sake, you invited them over to be a light in their life. And I want to encourage you, this is again, it's one of those things that is simple to do. I know a couple in our church, they have a simple plan. Every week, they invite one couple over for a fireside. Do they make it every week? No, they don't. But they have that goal. On the weekends here, they're like spies. They're staring at people. They're looking for those who are alone, who might be lonely. And then they approach and say, hey, do you want to come over? And I think that is fantastic. If a couple of us can do that, where we attract people and we see who is alone and we see those who might be lonely, invite them over for a fireside. Simply have some sunflower seeds there or something, and you can just be hospitable to them in that moment. And let me tell you, yeah, conversation might be awkward in the beginning. Yeah, you might not know what to talk about, but as you get in a groove and as you talk to one another, get this, you can pray about it beforehand and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom on what to talk about. And we'll get into that in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ultimately, how we treat one another is a reflection of our relationship of Jesus. How we treat each other is how close we are to Jesus. Matthew 25 is actually a very sobering passage, and it says this, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison and you did not look after me. They also then answered, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whomever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do unto me. And I think it's one of those things that we have to remember, that we look at the least of these around us, but it's not doing it unto Jesus itself. So number two, and this goes without saying, but all these passages, we need to take action, right? It's about one another, but it's about taking action. We can't sit and do nothing with this. James 2:26 says, for the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So in this, this is a both and. We can't sit back if you're lonely and say, oh, well, I'm just waiting for somebody to come to me. that couple will find me and, you know, they'll invite me over, my loneliness will be fixed. It doesn't work like that. You're not gonna stumble out of loneliness. You're not gonna accidentally or get lucky and meet somebody and then loneliness is gone. It is not how it works. It takes action. It takes effort on your side as well to move forward out of loneliness. We can't just sit back and say it's not gonna happen. And I'll give you a quick story. When I came to Canada, it was me, my parents, and my brother. I did not know a soul. I did not know anything. It was community, nothing. But I did know the mistake I made in Minnesota, but I did not connect into a community. So coming here, I connected into the church. First thing I did was be in a small group. It was one of the first things I asked for when they put me in. Right after that, I started volunteering. And I volunteered everywhere. The first thing I ever did was being on the camera. And I fell asleep on the camera. So there's a message with Pastor Ray preaching and you just saw the front and him walking back and forth. So anyway, I wasn't a great at camera, but I volunteered. I wanted community. I made friends in it. I never went to Kidsmen because Kidsmen is scary. And there's only very brave people who go there. So I never went to Kidsmen, but I volunteered everywhere else where I could. And you know what happened? I made friends. I had to put myself out there. In small group, we started, they did this new thing in church back then that was also kind of scary called Encounter Gods, which we know today as Set Frees. But I met friends there, and after a while becoming a small group leader and getting more and more involved in the church. So, but it took effort on my end. The church also, I love the church, I gave to it, but church, you loved me. You loved this weirdo that walked into the black leather trench coat and anime shirts. Regardless of that, you allowed me to volunteer in it. Why? I don't know. But you did. And because of that, I had community now. So it's a both and where we both need to put effort into this. We both need to stand up. And there's another couple I know too. They were in a church locally. They had a big split. And this happened on Sunday. That Monday, they called the church here and said, hey, we want to get involved. How can we get involved? And they simply got involved. They got joined Welcome Ministry and they just got involved in our church. And they are pivotal in our congregation now. So anyway, these are things too that we have these strategies and stuff too. And even back then too, because I didn't know Canadian culture, before I go to small group, you know what I did? I went online to see if the Bombers played and if they won. There was one guy who was big into UFC. I would Google and see who won in UFC that previous time. Why? Because I can start a conversation and show interest in their lives. And again, it's how we start making community around us. But even with all these strategies, even with all these tactics, some are brilliant, some are not, they will all still fall short. Because even if we do these things with one another, and even if we go to the extra step, there's still one missing thing that we need to do. So we talk about loving people, so what's next? Loving God. We cannot go without this peace. This peace is what everything else hinges on. Pastor Eric preached last week on not neglecting meeting with God. And I want to encourage you too to be intentional with this. 2 Timothy talks about this. It says, the first time I was brought before a judge, no one came with me. Now this is Paul writing it. So look at this. Nobody came with me. Everyone abandoned me. But may it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so I might preach the good news. It is entirely for all the Gentiles to hear, and he rescued me from certain death. So we can see here's a part two where Paul is all alone. Nobody's with him. Everybody abandoned him. All the strategies and tactics fell flat. And you know what? He didn't count it against them. He wasn't lonely, maybe alone, but he wasn't lonely because God was with him. Even if we're physically alone, God is with us. And I love this too. We can look at as long as we're connected to the vine, God walks with us. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, we can't do anything. We cannot have community or find value in others. We cannot fill this emptiness inside of us without the vine. We have to be connected to the vine. And some of you might ask, how much? Well, Acts 2 tells us that. Acts 2 talks about verse 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come here every day to church, okay? I'm not going to go that far. We're not going to have a service every single day here. But we can spend every day with the Lord. And people say it's legalistic. I'm like, no, it's not legalistic. It's simply a relationship. It's not legalistic for me and my wife to spend every day together. It's relationship. It's my closest relationship. So the same with the Lord. It is a deep relationship when we spend time with our Creator. So how do we spend time with our Creator? And again, these are things we know, but I want to re-emphasize this. Number one, read your Bible. If you're not sure how to read your Bible, because many times too we say, read your Bible, and you're like, I don't know where to start in this thick book. Come talk to us. Come talk to me. Come talk to one of the staff. Talk to a cell leader. All of us would love to sit down with you and help you through that. And you know what? When we read our Bible, I found this stat this last week. It actually just stumbled across it. But there's a report from the Center of Bible Engagement, and you can go look it up online. It's fair. They did a study with 40,000 different people. And you know what they found when they did that study of 40,000 people? They found that people who read their Bible once, twice, three times a week, hardly any difference. Some differences, yes, but hardly any. Those though who read their Bible four times or more a week, you know what happened? Look at that first stat up there. Loneliness dropped by 30%. Immediately, loneliness dropped by 30% by simply spending more time in the Bible. If I would start the message and saying, hey, I can promise you to drop loneliness by 30% today, all you do is four easy steps every week, people would sign up. The thing is, it's right there in front of you. The Bible is there. But not just loneliness. We see with anger issues, bitterness, alcoholism, spiritual stagnation, or even viewing pornography. All these things went down. Why is that? Because we're exposed to truth. We're exposed to God's living word. It's not just simply a book, but it is God made in book form alive to us. It is when truth is revealed to us, we combat loneliness and many more things. So again, you can go read the article online from the Center of Bible Engagement. It's a fascinating article. But some of you might say too, but you know, I don't know where to start reading. There's also the Bible Recap. It's a great resource. I've been going through it. I like the book version. I don't like the app version. But there's a free app you can get online. You can read it. You can go through it. Terry Lee Caldwell takes you through the Bible in a year. It is fantastic. But there's another piece too. And again, this comes from Acts 2:42. It says, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to sharing the meals and prayer. Let's not forget about prayer. I want to share a story with you of prayer. This is something that happened a while ago. But again, I don't think we always understand how powerful prayer really is. So back in the 1800s, there was an evangelist who came from Africa, great continent, came from Africa, went up to Scotland, ascending church, and he gave a report. And this evening, it was cold, it was winter, it was wet. And guess what? Also in the 1800s, like today, nobody showed up. So he's at church with almost nobody in the congregation. I think the report they had was a bunch of elderly people who showed up, and that's it. So he was gonna cancel the night, but he felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit say, continue to do what you were gonna do. And then he's like, but Lord, I can't let the elderly go to Africa, they're gonna die. That's not good. So, but he felt he's gonna do it. So he gave his whole report, and in the end, he yelled three times, who will go? Three times he yelled that to the elderly sitting there. And he said he felt stupid doing it. But you know what happened? An organ boy. And some of you might ask what an organ boy is. Well, an organ boy is an assistant to the organ being played because it needs air. So there's a big bladder beside the organ and they would pump the bladder. That boy pumping the bladder raised his hand and he says, I will go, I will go, I will go. And some of you might know this kid. His name was David Livingston. And David Livingston, young David, stood up and he says, what do I need to do? And this evangelist just looks at him and thinks of his boy, what are you gonna do? But he told the boy, if you wanna go to be an evangelist in Africa and make a difference, become a doctor. The boy said, okay, became a doctor. Grew up, became a doctor, went to Africa. And he was going to minister in Africa. And while ministering to Africa, they had a compound set up. And in this compound, him and a few other people, they would go out and reach different tribes. So this one tribe they went out to reach. They get there, and the chief of the tribe said, you are no longer welcome here. In fact, if you don't pack up your compound and leave, we're going to come kill you tonight. So I would be scared. David was scared. And we know all these details. I'm giving you lots of details because David Livingstone took lots of diaries. He wrote everything down. And he actually said this. This is one of the prayers he prayed. He said, "Lord, we've labored so faithfully. Please protect us. Please help us." Short prayer. Went back that night to the compound, prayed the prayer. They all prayed together, and nothing happened. They're alive. A couple of years later, they went back to this tribe again, and everybody got saved. The chief got saved. Everybody else was saved. And that's incredible, right? But the story is not done yet. So a couple of years later, because back then too, they didn't travel back and forth as much as we do. It's not as easy to travel. He went back to Scotland to a sending church, and he gave a report. And, I forgot a piece. Wow. We do this with chief and stuff, and they all got saved. He asked the chief, and he says, "Hey, do you remember a couple of years ago you said you're going to come kill us?" And I think it'll be an awkward conversation with somebody, right? Like, you threatened my life, and now you're saved. You're on the same team, but you say you're going to kill me. What happened that evening? And the chief says, "Well, we came to kill you." And David goes, no, I didn't see you. We're all here. He says, "No, we came." "Well, why'd you stop?" "Well, as soon as we came to the compound, and we got closer to the compound, we saw giants standing around the compound on guard." And David goes, "What?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "We even got closer and we counted them. There was 39 giants, 39 of them standing guard. And they both praised the Lord because God sent his angels and it was great and, you know, awesome." And David Livingstone went back to Scotland a couple of years later to give a report, and he's in his church. And he gives a report, and after the report was completely done, the secretary of the church, she got up and she went to David Livingstone and she said, "Hey, do you know the date of when that happened?" And David's like, "Yeah, it's my diary, I'll go get it." So he went and get his diary. She went and get the church diary, because back then we did attendance and a diary as well. And they got together, and guess what? The evening that he prayed, and again, remember, we didn't have social media or internet back then. The evening this happened, the church got together to pray for David Livingstone. And guess how many people showed up for prayer that night? 39. And people say it's coincidence. It's not coincidence. Maybe it's coincidence I'm preaching about loneliness and all of a sudden now you'll find community. It's not coincidence. It's prayer. Not everything is about prayer, but everything comes out of prayer. I love this quote from William Temple when he says, "When I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't." We need to, if there's one thing you get from today, I hope you're getting this. Stop making the same mistake and not praying. We need to stop not praying for one another or not praying for things like loneliness. We cannot afford to neglect the most powerful weapon at our disposal, which is to pray for one another. We need to be interceding for one another. And you know what? 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. I think I can pretty confidently say that it's God's will for us not to experience loneliness or to walk through loneliness, but to walk in unity. Because Psalm 143 says how good and pleasant it is for God's people to live together in unity. And even Jesus' prayer for us in John 17 says, "I am praying not only for those disciples, but also for those who've ever believed in through me their messages. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you, and they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me." Prayer is the key. God wants us to be together. God wants us to walk in unity so we can approach his throne room with confidence and pray against loneliness and pray for this. So ultimately, if loneliness is the silent epidemic, that's what the CDC calls it, right? You know what, church? We have the cure for the silent epidemic. We're not an Acts 2 church yet, but we do have the cure. We just need to administer it to one another. There's such an opportunity for us to kill this epidemic in our lives. I love this passage again in John 15 that says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, we lays his life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. What an example of God showing his love towards us. He laid down his life for us. He saved us from our sins. We deserve hell. But he came, and not only is he our King and our Savior, but he's calling us friend. What kind of friend laid his life down for you? Jesus did. And Jesus is accessible to us all time, anywhere. We can approach his throne room with confidence. So this comes down to this. We need to be spending time this summer. And this summer is a great opportunity for us. I mean, think about it. We can have firesides. We can invite people over. We can go for walks with people. But you know what else we can do? We can have firesides with God. We can go on walks with God. When I was still new in Canada, I was still getting to know people. But you know what's one thing I did? I took God on dates. I would take my car. I would wash it inside and out. I'd wear nice clothes. And I would go and I'd say, okay, Lord, let's go on a date. Go get a Big Mac, no mac sauce, strawberry milkshake with fries from McDonald's. Go to Abe's Hill and sit there, and it was me and God time. It was our date. And that's something that you all can do. We can take God on a date. We can spend time with him and get to know our Savior better. So there's two things I want to leave you with, and we'll wrap up with this, and then we're done. Just something practical. But love God, love people. So number one, what can we do in this? So we need to spend time in the Word. Feed on it, learn from it, memorize it, grow in it. Fall in love with God's living Word. Because this will transform you, like I said earlier, 30% decrease in loneliness, four times or more a week. But this is a place where we experience the Lord. Spend time praying. Let's not neglect prayer. There's such power in prayer. Pray for opportunities to reach out to others, but pray for the lonely as well. And again, maybe you can make a big difference in somebody's life. And it's sometimes as simple as we see somebody in the cafe to say, hello, how are you? Second one here, love people. We gotta love one another. Each one of each one. Pick a person, go love on them. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us how to do that. And then again, practice hospitality. Why don't you invite somebody over you don't typically have over? Look outside your friendship group. I know it's scary to do that. But maybe you can just pray about it, you and your spouse, or if you're alone, pray about it. Say, Lord, can you lay somebody on our heart that we can reach out to? And guess what? If you get two different names, hey, you invite one week and one the other week. Win-win, right? So pray about who you can invite over and show God's love towards them. So I'm gonna finish in prayer. We'll close in a song and then we'll be done for today. So Jesus, Lord, what an honor to be able to call you friend. It's sometimes even hard to do that, Lord, because you saved us. You laid everything down for us. You created us. You gave us your word. You gave us this incredible weapon called prayer. And yet, Jesus, you came and you called us friend. I ask now, Jesus, would you give everybody here a name, somebody we can reach out to, somebody that we can invite over, somebody we can show hospitality for, but also, Lord, not neglect you. But Lord, we would spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, and I also ask Jesus, would you give us an idea of how we can do that so we go closer to you and go closer to one another. Amen.
If today's message has encouraged you, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream podcasts. For access to previous messages, videos, and live services, visit us online at myselfund.com or download the Selfund Church app. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's message.